The following is a paid program, and the views expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPTF or Curtis Media Group. Information provided is of a general nature. Listeners seeking specific advice should contact a licensed professional in the appropriate area. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio. Oh, oh, oh. HeartHealthRadio.com. Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening to this show, Heart Health Radio, with Dr. Franklin Weefall. Hi.
We are here today. We are ready to rock and roll.
We've got a bunch of stories. We have stumbled into a weird part of the world. I hadn't anticipated this would happen. A weird situation where Jon Stewart is suddenly the voice of reason.
How did that happen?
I think it's just been that kind of a year.
I mean, is there some kind of food he's eating? Because if so, I want to feed it to a lot of people.
Listen, we used to have a Lyme disease vaccine. We don't now.
Yeah, and it's very interesting what happened to it. And I didn't even remember it. It came out in the 90s and was very effective, and then it got destroyed.
It's a hot summer. It already is a hot summer.
It's going to be terrible.
And we're going to talk about how to stay cool. And
listen, if you don't listen to anything today, listen to what we say. I'm serious. It could save your life.
Okay.
It could save your life.
All right.
Because it's going to be hot.
Yes.
Hot, hot, hot.
All right. Dr. Fauci said this week.
I know we said we were going to be Fauci-free, but it's too important to be Fauci-free.
This is what Dr. Fauci said.
Even though you lean towards feeling that this is more likely a natural occurrence, we always felt that you've got to keep an open mind. All of us. We didn't get up and start announcing it, but we've always said keep an open mind and continue to look. So I think it's a bit of a distortion to say that we deliberately suppress that.
This is about the Wuhan lab.
Yeah.
Leak.
Have you ever been in a scream room?
No.
Yeah, it's a padded room. So you can bounce off the walls, but you can also scream at the top of your lungs.
Sure, sure.
I feel like I need to visit that room right now.
Yeah.
Because his email said, you know, this is ridiculous. And then the guy who was involved with the nonprofit that he gave the money to leaked over to the Wuhan lab even congratulated him on kiboshing the whole concept that it was a leak from the lab.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a bald-faced liar. And I mean, what is he thinking? Is he thinking that people won't remember?
A lot of people...
drives me crazy. He was the number one guy saying it had to be a natural occurrence, it couldn't have been from the lab, and now he's claiming he was open to that all the time. And I don't know what to say,
it's just nuts. He uses the royal we. If you notice, he said, well, we always thought, you know.
Yeah.
Remember,
he said if you criticize Fauci,
yes,
you're criticizing science.
Right, right.
I'm not criticizing science. Let's go over, you know, the reason why we think it's the Wuhan Institute.
Can we have this prefaced by famous virologist Jon Stewart?
You know what? Whatever Jon Stewart is eating and changing his brain.
This is what he said.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean there's a chance that this was created in a lab, there's an investigation?
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's
I don't know.
A novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle?
See?
And you're like, no.
The they call it Occam's razor. You know this.
Well, Occam's razor says that the most simple explanation has to be right.
Sure.
And everybody says, well, you know, the problem is we grew up in the last 20 years with CSI.
Yeah.
Okay. The only way you can prove something is if you have DNA evidence that absolutely points to the murderer.
Yes.
That's not true. Circumstantial evidence, especially when it's overwhelming, is definitely something that would be proven in court or used to prove something in court.
What's your chain of evidence?
Okay.
Here?
So natural. Let's go over the evidence for natural.
Yeah.
It occurs in bats.
Yes.
It occurs in bats.
Okay.
And it occurs in bats.
I think you said that before.
Well, that's the whole point.
That's it?
Okay, so where is the bat getting to the human? Tell me. Oh, it had to be through an intermediate animal. Where's the intermediate animal? Well, we think it was from the meat market. Okay, which one? Well, you know, probably from the meat market. I mean, they have no evidence that it came from a natural source.
So
well,
how about
all viruses come from natural sources. Now, what's the evidence for the lab?
Yeah.
The lab was studying the virus. The DNA of the coronavirus contains a sequence. And I'll just say it. If you're not a biochemist, but the DNA and the RNA, it's an RNA virus, has a sequence of chemicals, A, C, G, or T.
Okay.
And the three-letter code makes the protein. Well, there is a sequence, CCGCCC, and it is in the coronavirus. Guess where else it's found in nature?
I have no idea.
Nowhere.
Really?
Nowhere, yeah. And this is what David Baltimore I know actually personally from my previous incarnation as a molecular biologist, he's a Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah.
He pointed this out. That this sequence of letters found in the RNA structure of the coronavirus did not occur in nature and also is a signature of genetically manipulated organisms because they have to splice themselves in. Anyway, you know, he got criticized roundly because, you know, he's part of the whole scientific thing that previously was debunking it, okay? And he said it was the smoking gun. And, oh, my gosh, he got phone calls from his buddies from Harvard and all these MIT and all these other places saying, how can you do this? How can you go against, you know, the left-wing science contingent?
Yeah.
So he walked. Now they claim he walked back. Okay, this is what the press is saying. He doesn't believe that anymore. No, he still believes it. But he said, I wish I hadn't used the term smoking gun. So what should we call it? Incontrovertible evidence?
Sure.
Or smoking gun? Now, the other thing is, okay, the lab scientists all got sick. Way back in, was it October, November?
Yeah, there
five
is that.
Five of them in the hospital.
There is that.
Guess what they had?
Respiratory
illness with fever and got real sick.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what else happened right around that time?
I don't know.
They barricaded the streets outside of the Wuhan Institute.
Yeah.
All the cell phones got turned out. And it was shut down, okay? Now, what's the other piece of evidence? The other piece of evidence is that they studied it there, and they were looking at it there. There were no bats. They think there might have been some bats there, but they didn't get out. At least they say they didn't get out.
Yeah.
The evidence, like I said in October, and no, I'm sorry, April of 2020.
Yes.
We played that back. I thought then, and I think now it came from the lab. Now, do I think it was developed as a weapon? I don't know. I don't have evidence that it was developed as a weapon, except that the Chinese military had scientists in the Wuhan lab studying the coronavirus. That's a fact.
Right.
I would hate to think that they were doing that. I mean, I would absolutely hate to think. Because what would you think and what would Americans think if it did turn out? And again, I'm not saying it did, that it was a military bioweapon that escaped.
Oops.
600,000 people in the United States have died.
That's
you know what that is? That's one in 500 people. Now, think about that.
Yes.
One in 500 people in the United States of America has died of the coronavirus.
Wow.
And we've had, what's now, what, 100 million infections, I think? It's unbelievable.
And okay.
What are we going to do?
Assuming you lost me right about it, the phrase RNA.
Okay.
You
want me to explain it?
No.
Come on.
If you explained everything.
You did high school biology. Wait a minute. That was back in the 50s when biology was about ducks and cats and dogs.
We've
right?
learned a lot about biology now. But is it necessary or worthwhile for somebody somewhere to fiddle around with dangerous diseases?
Well, let me tell you the scary thing.
Yeah.
It's happening all over the world.
Okay.
They were trying to revive smallpox.
Yeah.
You know, smallpox is the one disease that has been, according to all the country's scientists, eradicated.
Right.
Eradicated. Gone. Well, guess what? The labs are bringing it back. Why? It's fun to study. And
yeah.
Just imagine all these things going on all over the world right now. They're trying to create dangerous bacteria and viruses. Why? Well, we want to be able to kill them later. Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
They didn't exist before, so yes. Now you want to create them so you can kill them later. I think, you know, have you ever heard of the mad scientist?
Yes.
You remember?
Yes.
They're mad scientists.
It's like you trying to create heart disease so you can cure it.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. Can we talk about heart disease today?
We can do that in mice. Wait a minute, PETA. Don't call PETA.
Every now and then, Dr. Weefald sends me an article about they're treating obesity in mice using this special chemical. And I always text him back, oh, thank goodness, because we lose too many mice.
Yeah.
Through to diabetes and heart disease.
Yeah, their fat is all
good. It's just good. Well, listen, we've got a lot more to talk about, including your phone calls. Telephone number is 919-860-9783. Between noon and 2 every Saturday, we are Heart Health Radio. Listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com. Dr. Weefald,
I hate to beat a dead horse.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk. If anybody's sick of me talking about the Wuhan lab, I'm going to talk about it just for a little bit. Alina Chan, postdoctoral associate at the Broad Institute at MIT and Harvard.
Yes.
One of 18 experts who signed a letter in May demanding that the Wuhan lab leak theory be investigated. Well, here's the problem. Yeah. What did she say last year? That it was racist and had been debunked that the Wuhan lab was the source. And now she's admitting why she said that. You know why?
Because
she wanted to defeat President Trump, who had been in favor of it.
Oh, well, who didn't, really?
And NPR finally admitted it,
that
it was something, quote, unquote, we need to look into. Yeah. And I don't know if you realize this, but Facebook and Twitter—
Yes.
Had actually banned the mention of the Wuhan lab leak theory.
Right.
Until a month ago, or even less. And so I'm going to make Weefy's rule.
Yes.
Okay?
The Weefy rule of medical information.
Weefy rule number one is if the mainstream press uses this language, that theory is racist and has been debunked.
Okay.
If you hear that theory is racist and has been debunked, the theory has to be true. Okay. Has to be true.
Including all debunked racist theories?
You tell me where this word debunked came from. You seem to know.
The word bunkum, like that's bunk. Yeah. Right? That's a lie.
Yeah.
Actually comes in relation to Buncombe County.
What's wrong with Buncombe County?
I don't know, but it
If you're listening on the Truth Network and you live in Buncombe County, we are not insulting you.
No, we're not. Skip in Raleigh, thank you very much for calling. How you doing?
Thanks for I'm doing great. Dr. Wiefel, by the way, the other axiom I learned in my training was when you hear hoofbeats, think horses. My patient with a fever probably does not have dengue fever. I'm just saying, you know, unless... So here's the question.
Sure.
Let me preface it by saying this is not a setup, I promise. This is a question I've heard, and I'd like to get your take on it, regarding COVID vaccines.
Sure.
There's at least the word out that some, as part of, if not development, testing, used fetal cell lines that came from aborted fetuses. And I have friends who have an ethical dilemma with that.
Sure. And that is a very good question because, especially among Catholics, the resistance to some of the vaccines, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want somebody to say... Yeah, I'm not going to name which vaccine it was. But it's not a direct connection. In other words, they did not use fetal tissue itself to make the vaccine, but they used a derivative technique, if you understand what I'm saying. So there isn't any protein or DNA or fat that came from a fetal an aborted fetus. I had to be very careful what I say here. But you can trace back the technique to aborted fetal stem cell tissue. So this was brought up with the Pope.
Yeah.
And it was. And would the Pope tell Catholics not to get this particular vaccine? And you know, the Pope said it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am treading water. I'm walking the tightrope here. I personally, knowing how this how the techniques behind it, I'm sorry, I'm kind of tripping over myself because I want to be careful. I don't think that you can say it was developed from aborted fetal tissue. The Catholics were told that they could use this vaccine or get this vaccine. Does that make sense?
Sounds great. Sounds like a very reasonable answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Skip.
I appreciate it. And you know, it is a problematic thing. And I remember when Ronald Reagan's son was saying, we need fetal, you know, stem cell research in order to save all. Did you know all the sort of research now in stem cells are coming from adult stem cells. You can take stem cells from the skin and turn them into any kind of tissue you want. There's no reason to use fetal stem cells. There's no reason.
Thank you, Skip. Great phone call. In 1820, the North Carolina representative Felix Walker was preparing to speak in front of the U.S. Congress, and it was supposed to be a really big, long speech. They tried to talk him out of it, and he said, I quote, "I'm not speaking to Congress. I'm speaking to Buncombe."
Okay, now we figured it out.
He meant Buncombe County, North Carolina.
Famous.
But
what is in that county?
What is in Buncombe County? Oh, I'm sorry. I'll look it up.
You know what? I think it's the center of the universe right now.
Yes, I
bet they got great doctors in Buncombe
County. I'm sure they do. Listen, we used to have a Lyme disease vaccine. Yeah. Why do we not have one now?
Well, you know, let me tell you, Lyme disease is a big deal. I see patients with it all the time. And chronic Lyme disease is real. I know that there were a lot of physicians who said chronic Lyme disease is not real because I get a Lyme disease test and it's negative.
Okay.
Well, guess what? The Lyme disease tests have huge numbers of false negativity. I've had 4 or 5. And in order to get a positive, you know, reliable test, you have to take the blood and you have to measure the word that you don't like, DNA and RNA.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I just don't understand them.
In the 90s, they developed a Lyme vaccine. And it worked. I mean, it got approved by the Food and Drug Administration. It reduced your risk of getting Lyme.
Right.
Guess what it was called? Lyme Ricks. Okay. L-Y-M-E-R-I-X. Now, do you know the
there
history?
There once was a guy from
Limericks, yeah. And so here's the problem. You know what the CDC advisory committee said?
No.
It's a yuppie vaccine. Hardly anybody gets Lyme disease. It's a disease of rich people. And this is even before AOC came on board.
Right, right.
Anyway, they said it's for suburbanites who will pay a lot of money for their Nikes and Esprit and shop at L.L. Bean. And they travel to Cape Cod. I hate to say it, Lyme disease is huge in North Carolina.
Yeah.
It's huge in Iowa. It's even huge in California. It comes from deer ticks.
The reason we don't
shoot Bambi anymore, okay? We're not allowed to shoot Bambi.
Yes.
I mean, there are some places in New York where the biggest car accident cause is hitting a deer.
Yeah.
Because they can't kill them. Anyway, so they made this vaccine, and it was pretty cool. It didn't work the same as other vaccines. What it did was, when the tick bit you, it rushed into the tick's gut. This stuff,
yeah,
and killed the bacteria in the tick's gut.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyway, the FDA had claimed, or had in the studies, had shown certain side effects, okay? And these were borne out in the tens of thousands of people who got the vaccine and who were studied. Unfortunately, some lawyers got together and sued the company, saying there are these adverse effects. Now, what did the company do that a lot of companies do that's a fatal mistake? They settled.
Oh, okay.
And they settled without admitting guilt in saying that we don't want to have to deal with this anymore. So basically, they took it off the market eventually because they couldn't sell it anymore. I think we need to bring it back. And I hope that they do because I'm telling you, you know the cardiovascular problems with Lyme disease? You can get a cardiomyopathy where your heart gets weak.
Yeah.
The most dramatic case I saw about 15 years ago, I was called to put a pacemaker in.
Yes.
A 27-year-old man. His heart had blocked off. It's called complete heart block. So the electrical signal from the top part of the heart wasn't getting to the bottom part of the heart. So the bottom part was only beating 20 beats a minute. Because it had a backup, you know, pacemaker in the bottom part, very slow.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I said, are you a hunter? He says, yeah. Yeah, I used to hunt before I got this. And I said, let me ask you a question. You bit by a tick? No. Well, the Lyme disease ticks are the side of a pinhead. Yeah. Did you have a rash? He says, I got one now. And he pulls up his shirt. It's a bullseye. It's called erythema migrans.
All right.
And it starts as a little thing and goes in a bullseye. Anyway, I gave him antibiotics, gave him steroids.
Good.
Heart block went away.
Good. Asheville is in Buncombe County.
Asheville?
And so is Black Mountain.
Wow.
This is Heart Health Radio.
Welcome to Heart Health with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefald. Call us with your health questions at 919-860-9783.
This is making your, this is Heart Health Radio.
Uh-oh.
I forgot what Joe was doing.
Well, you're making your heart healthy. You were about to say that, yeah.
The Heart Health Radio Network, Dr. Franklin Weefald, Rose Hoban from North Carolina Health News. And Rose, you've got an article on the website we're puzzling over. It says, the doctor won't see your newborn now. What is this?
This is a story that we ran from one of our partner organizations.
Right.
And it's that in some places, you know, there is a shortage enough of doctors that they're using nurse practitioners to see new moms and take care of sick babies.
Is this in the hospital or in the office or both?
No, this is at Lake Norman Regional Hospital.
Wow.
Well, it's a healthy one I can understand. And I love nurse practitioners. And I think that the whole, you know, and physician's assistants. And I think the focus on the newborn baby is restricted enough in terms of what you got to look for that I think, I don't know. I think that'd be okay with that. If I had a newborn again, I'm too old. But if I had a newborn again and it was a nurse practitioner who was experiencing that, I don't think I'd be upset. What do you think, Rose? Tell me.
Well, I mean, the data show, I mean, there's been a lot of study about what are called advanced practice nurses, or APRNs is the acronym that gets used. And there's a lot of data out there. It's been studied for decades now, and that the standard of care, the level of care is as good in a lot of, you know, primary care settings as that of a physician. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, there's a big conflict between docs and nurses, and I could sort of weigh into that, which I'm not gonna. But, you know, I think part of it is that there is a worry about, you know, market share and stuff like that. But the reality is that the data all show that NPs do a pretty good job, especially in primary care. So it's limited. And then, you know, in some states, we do not allow this. You have to have a physician supervisor. But in some states, instead of having that physician, quote unquote, supervision, which in North Carolina doesn't mean that the supervisor actually has to be there.
Oh, yeah, I know that's true. Let me tell you, and I'm going to say this right now, if Tara Bush is listening, she was my nurse practitioner.
Oh, yeah.
And for, 15 years. She's the best cardiologist, of course, besides me, ha, 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 best cardiologist I knew. I would trust her with my heart. And so I think, like anything else, there are good doctors and there are bad doctors. And I think if you can get a hold of a good PA in that field and a good nurse practitioner, they're good as gold.
You know, I went to the ER for something simple about a month ago. And I actually ended up going to urgent care after that, about a week later.
Okay.
This is for my knee.
Oh, yeah.
I rolled a car
over
my
knee. By
the
way, did that heal?
Yeah, sort of.
It's sort of, kind of.
But here's the thing. I actually ended up seeing either a PA or some other, you know, in the ER, saw a PA, and then went to urgent care, which was an orthopedic urgent care, and saw someone who was not a doctor.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back to the ER because I wasn't sure I had the best care ever.
Right.
It turned out I did.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything else. I mean, I have had patients who come back from evaluation by a physician's assistant.
Right.
And, you know, they miss something. And, of course, I've had patients come back from a doctor. And they miss something. So,
and they miss something, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you got a good PA and a physician's assistant and a good nurse practitioner, and I think you're okay. I think your baby's going to be okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that's been suggested to maybe get around the sort of the impasse between doctors and nurse, you know, and APRNs in North Carolina is this idea of an APRN residency. So when these advanced practice nurses graduate from their master's level programs, for the most part, some people have a doctoral level program, but they graduate from these master's level programs, and then you work directly in a practice for like 2 years before you can go out and hang out a shingle. And I think that's something that's gaining, you know, support.
Yeah, like a residency, you know. I think that's a great idea.
All right. Well, listen, I've got Mike and Carrie, who's champing at the bit. Rose, I want everybody to go to NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org and check it out today.
It's a great
website. All right. Thank you, Rose.
Thank you, fellas. Good to talk to you.
All right. You
God
too.
God bless.
Mike and Carrie, welcome to the radio program. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Where I'd like to ask the doctor about Eliquis as a blood center.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's costing us $253 a month. Copay.
Wow.
It's really expensive. Can I ask you a private question? What kind of insurance do you have?
It's my wife's prescription. She's on Medicare.
Okay. What's the Part D? Do you know? That's the Medicare prescription plan.
She's got Part D.
Yeah. Is it Humana, Blue Cross Blue Shield? Do you know what it is? Because I can tell
Blue Cross.
Okay. Let me tell you what. Did your doctor get a prior authorization on this? Must have, right? And then they still said it was $200 as a copay. Is that, am I hearing you right? Okay, what is this? Apixaban is the generic name, Eliquis. It's a great medicine. You have to take it twice a day, and it works differently from warfarin. Warfarin affects all these different proteins. Apixaban or Eliquis affects one, and it keeps you from clotting. Does your wife have AFib? Is that what it is?
No, she had a blood clot in her leg.
Okay.
That they needed to dissolve.
Yeah, deep venous thrombosis. And how long do they want her to stay on it? A long time, forever, or just a short time?
Well, she's in her third month now. They want her to go at least 6 months, okay. And then they're going to check.
All right, there's something that they don't tell you about Eliquis. The company's actually pretty good about helping people. And did they give you a free one-month sample when you started?
Yes.
Okay. Did you call that? Did you have to activate it or not activate it?
We activated it.
Okay. And here's the thing that drives me crazy is that if you had asked them, can you help me get it cheaper? They would have done it. But unfortunately, the FDA rule is they can't offer. You have to ask. So do you still have that card?
Yes.
Call that number. Well, call the number again.
Yeah.
And say, I activated my card, but this crazy cardiologist on the radio told me that if I ask you to help me get it cheaper, you would help me. Now, there are some individuals they can't help. It has to do with how much money you make. It has to do whether you have commercial insurance. And you know, if you had commercial insurance, if you were 50, you'd pay $5.
Yeah.
But since you're Medicare, they can't give you the same discounts because they disallowed it. But there are programs that are sponsored by the company and also through Medicare, and they can guide you with that. Now, there's a second way you can get helped on this. And unfortunately, the powers that be in medicine are trying to squash this, and that's called samples from your doctor. So I am independent. I'm not ruled by anybody. Some people think I should be, but I get samples and I get tons of samples. And there are people who are going to be on it for a short term and they're in the donut hole, which means they have to pay for everything.
Yeah.
And I can help them by giving them free medicine. That is, I don't pay for it, but I get it free. So I give it to you for free. Now, if your doctor is employed by, say, Duke, or UNC, they're not allowed to get samples.